مفتي السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Before we start off, Mufti, can we first get a definition of itikaf and a background on where itikaf came from and why?
First of all, we must know that there are various types of itikaf. One is masnoon itikaf. Masnoon itikaf will be that itikaf which is performed in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And then we get wajib itikaf. Wajib itikaf is that itikaf wherein a person, he makes a vow and a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will be making itikaf or she will be making itikaf due to the fulfillment of some activity. For example, a person says that inshallah if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me go for Hajj, then I will keep 2 days itikaf. I'll make 2 days of itikaf. So that which was nafil, he has made compulsory upon himself. So that we call wajib itikaf. Now for both masnoon itikaf and wajib itikaf, fasting is a precondition. Masnoon itikaf, the males perform in the masjid, the females, women folk, perform in their homes. And for both these types of itikaf, there is a precondition of fasting. The third type of itikaf is nafil itikaf. Nafil itikaf, we do not have a precondition of fasting. Also, nafil itikaf, we do not have a time specification or limit. A person, he may be able to make itikaf for just a few minutes. And it is highly advisable that when we go to the masjid, the males, then as soon as we enter the masjid, we make a niyat, intention of itikaf. So this is nafil itikaf. Fasting is not a precondition, time is not specification, and the rules and regulations which are applied for masnoon and wajib itikaf are not applicable to the nafil itikaf, obviously. Now the purpose of the itikaf itself, Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi states, the basic purpose of itikaf is that the heart gets attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because here is an opportunity. A person, he leaves his house and he leaves the business environment and he leaves all the mundane daily activities and goes into itikaf, sitting in the masjid, doing all his ibadahs, devotion, inshallah, with sincerity in the masjid. He will gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will gain attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With itikaf, one attains inner composure and all the preoccupation with the mundane activities ceases. Reality, internal reality takes place and the state is reached which all fears, hopes and apprehensions are superseded by the love and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person in itikaf, he will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting Quran al-Kareem, making his salat with jamaat, and also being focused on the akhirat. So all these anxieties are transformed into the anxieties of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is done for his pleasure. Here I must explain one point, that basically itikaf means to remain in the masjid for a certain period with the intention of itikaf. And the women folk, they can demarcate a place in their homes. And after demarcating a place in their homes, if they have not already got a salat room or a namaz room in their homes. Yeah, it is a little bit sad and disappointing that we build sometimes mansions and big houses, huge homes, and in our homes we cater for everything, 2-2 lounges, 2-2 dining rooms, 4 bathrooms, but no salat room. No salat room and no namaz room. Well, on one occasion, someone told me, no, we do not put a namaz room in our massive house because jinnat will sit in that room. Now this is baseless and fallacious. Jinnat are all the time in every room of your house. So why only they'll be sitting in your salat room or your namaz room? So if a person has got a salat room or a namaz room, then a lady can make i'tikaf, masnoon i'tikaf, in the last 10 days of Ramadan. She can do it sitting in that room.
Okay, if a lady doesn't, if we don't have a namaz room, can we clear out another room for the furniture? And
you do not have to, Brother Faruk, clear the furniture as such.
No, I mean to make it easy, and because to be you need space, I mean.
Okay, you can clear a whole room out, and if you want to clear the furniture, all the better. But you see, she will now be comfortable in that room. And your idea of saying that clear everything, clear the furniture, I agree with, so that you have a little bit comfort. Now, before the lady sits for i'tikaf, the fuqaha, the juror consultants, have stated clearly that she must take the permission of her husband. She must take the permission of her husband and then sit for i'tikaf. And whilst in i'tikaf, she can also sew, she can knit, and she can give instructions from there of the daily activities of the kitchen and the house itself. However, in the masjid, that these days, unfortunately, those who are making i'tikaf in the masjid, they are divided into two categories. One are those who are very sincere and devoted, and they are serious about their i'tikaf. And when you see them, they are constantly in the state of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are trying to get proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, busy in their salat. And an advice to the person who goes in for i'tikaf in the masjid, that try to make your qaza salat. And remember, i'tikaf is sunnat muakkada alal kifaya. Meaning of this is that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, and alal kifaya would mean that in a locality, in a given locality, if one person fulfills this masnoon i'tikaf, then the rest of the locality are absolved from that obligation or that necessity of going into i'tikaf. It does not mean that the whole community must now go and sit in i'tikaf. And also, prior to sitting for i'tikaf, few things must be done. For example, that you must secure your home. You must know that your house is secure, your family members are secure, and your children and your wife, they are morally upright, so that in your absence, they do not do things which are contravening the Sharia, basically. The second type of those people who make i'tikaf, unfortunately, are those who have turned i'tikaf into a circus. And unfortunately, what they do after the Taraweeh Salat and after the general public have gone home, they turn the whole masjid into a playground. And they are laughing there, joking there, having discussions and unnecessary discourses, and ordering food from all the takeaways, and food is brought into the masjid. And as a result, those who are sincere in making i'tikaf, those who are devout in making i'tikaf, are disturbed greatly. The mutawallis, the trustees of the masjid, should be very cautious that you should allow those who are going to make i'tikaf, you should screen them, and you should allow the serious ones. And if there are some who are potentially going to cause trouble in the masjid by noise and nonsense behavior, then they should be cautioned that if you behave badly, we are going to take action against you. So the masjid is a place of sanctity, is a sacred place, is a place where you should be silent, and is a place of devotion and ibadat, is a place where a person must be there to contact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not have a party there, and not have a place where all the friends meet in the night and discuss and then start laughing and joking. This is definitely not the spirit of i'tikaf.
If listeners have got any questions regarding i'tikaf, the number to call is 854-6854. Mufti, you mentioned that the mutawallis can take action. What kind of action can one take if there's a troublemaker or a noisemaker among the i'tikaf people, a person sitting for i'tikaf?
I will definitely say that the mutawallis, first of all, must admonish that person, must give him some warning that we have been receiving complaints about you, and we are saying that you better behave well in the masjid, and future complaints, we are going to take harder actions. And eventually, if this person is becoming a very big nuisance to the other serious ones, then the mutawalli should consult an alim and after that remove that person from i'tikaf, because this person is causing difficulty to others and he is not abiding by the law stipulated concerning the etiquettes of the masjid. And if a person, there is a rule in Sharia that if a person does not conform and abide by the etiquettes of the masjid, then you can buy him from the masjid. That is why immature children, insane children, and also insane personalities, and those who laugh unnecessarily in the masjid and disturb others, you can bar them from the masjid. And okay, those who cause trouble in your masjid.
Okay, Mufti. We'll now listen to what AK from Lens has got to ask. AK, are you there?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, AK. You can ask your question.
Mufti Sahab.
Ji.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum
salam. Mufti Sahab, with regard to the age limitation, I think I spoke to on the air yesterday to you with regard to code of conduct.
Yes.
Getting back to basics.
Ji.
I think all this would be unnecessary. We wouldn't have to go into these measures if the children are taught from an early age with regard to conduct,
yes,
how to behave themselves in a masjid.
Yes.
Just last night in one of the masjids which I attend, where the problem was not just kids, these were youngsters from about 16 to 21 years old forming their own jamaat there, talking jamaat.
Oh yes.
And that was very irritable and
Disturbing. Yes.
To the other Muslims in the mosque.
Yes.
Consequently, one of the other Maulanas that was standing with us, we had to go out and tell them, to say, look, you have to read your salah, you go home,
Sure.
Now, with regard to the itikaf, I think there's also little youngsters there. I mean, they should be briefed that what itikaf is all about well before they come for itikaf. Because some of them come there before the tarawih is halfway,
yes,
they're already asleep.
Yes.
So what type of itikaf are they going to look at? I'm not here to judge them.
What type
of itikaf are they going to be performing?
That is why I will advise the mutawallis that they should try to encourage one of the local alims and one of the local otherwise responsible members to sit in itikaf. And prior to actually sitting in itikaf, they should call all the potential brothers who are going to make itikaf and address them, talk to them, explain to them the code of conduct, and after that then ask them whether they are going to abide by those rules. Because what is happening also, unfortunately, let alone during itikaf time, that the children come to the masjid, perform the salah, then go away outside, make a noise outside, take their parents' vehicles, go to the wrong places, and sometimes make accidents, and nasty activities are taking place. I have written on this. Inshallah, we will republish it concerning the etiquettes and mannerisms of masajid.
Thank you for your call, AK. We have an anonymous sister who did not want to come on air, and her question was, she wants to sit after Fijr namaz for 2 hours on her musalla. Can this be considered as itikaf? And if so, what sort of itikaf may it should she make?
For her, this will be, if she's going to demarcate an area, then this will be classified as nafil itikaf. But strictly speaking, she should make the intention that she will stay there and then make her ishraq salat. Then she will get so much sawab that it is unreal. It is stated that her sins are forgiven and she gets a sawab of a hajj and an umrah. So by sitting on the musalla for 2 hours in one spot, then making zikr and Quran tilawat, etc., there is tremendous sawab for that.
Okay, if you've got any questions relating to itikaf, the number to dial is 854-6854. Nafil itikaf, males, usually when we enter the mosque, we make that
niyat, yes.
The niyat, irrespective of how long one stays in the mosque, whether I just walk in and out,
yes,
time is of no consequence, as you said.
Yes, because itikaf a masnool pertains to the last 10 days, and itikaf a wajib will be pertaining to the niyat of the person, and the nafil, the voluntary or optional itikaf, does not have a time barrier, does not have a time limitation. So the person goes into the masjid, makes the intention, Ya Allah, making nafil itikaf intention for reaping your pleasure, at your mercy, then he is now in i'tikaf. I'tikaf allows him to do a few things after that. For example, that he may partake of food in the masjid.
Okay, we'll come back to that later. Sister Aisha in Lands.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Aisha.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, you have a question?
I would like to say that I wish, you know, when my brothers come to and say they want to serve i'tikaf, the first intention is going to be very, very wrong. I don't know if you agree with me, for coming in there with the firearms. What are they coming there with the firearms for?
Into the masjid?
Yeah, in Zakaria Park. Secondly, the alims or the mulanas cannot tell them anything, tell these people anything, or tell their children anything, because then they're going to fetch their fathers or their grandfathers or their uncles, and the whole of Ramadan, which is, it's not even necessary to say you're going to sit in a cinema. Gherkoms are laughing at our Muslim community. It is so disgusting.
I heard what you say. Concerning the firearms and going for i'tikaf, then it is not essential or necessary to take the firearm and sit for i'tikaf, because firearm is dangerous, and to keep it for i'tikaf, maybe something goes wrong, the person does not know how to use it, and some children may play with it in the masjid, and someone is going to get hurt.
So
definitely firearms should not be taken into the masjid.
Unless they have a grudge for someone who is going to be sitting over there. And
In South Africa, up to date, alhamdulillah, we do not have a shootout in the masjid. And if they are taking firearms in the masjid, then unfortunately this may happen.
We are heading that way.
We are going that way. And as far as the children, etc., then as the brother A.K. rightfully said, that education should start from home. That the children should be educated from home, that you are going to the masjid, you should behave well, and these are the rules of the masjid. The importance of the masjid, the significance of the masjid, the sacredness of the masjid, the sanctity of the masjid are not explained to the children, and the children get out of hand.
Right.
Okay, Jazakallah. Have you got anything further to add?
No, nothing. It's just that I hope and pray that inshallah our poor alims and our mulanas secured over here, the side, because it seems as though they are more afraid of these junglies than I don't even know what name to
say. Okay.
Inshallah.
We are saying it, and
please make dua for them.
Inshallah. Okay. The public will take heed of that.
Okay, thank you so much for your input, Sister Aisha. Well, see, if I want to sit for i'tikaf now, I've got to make certain provisions and minds, put my mind into the right perspective, put my family's mind into the right perspective. What kind of preparations does a person need to take or make before one goes into i'tikaf prior to the last 10 days, now that the i'tikaf time is approaching fast?
First of all, there are two types of preparation. One is the spiritual preparation, and one is tying your camel. And let us go to the tying the camel. I've classified it like that, because a person, for example, before going for Hajj, now a person before going for Hajj, he will make preparations that his family is secure. His wife, his children, they are secure, they are taken care for, and they are somewhat supervising their activities. There is some caretaker over there, and they are not left stranded, and in his absence they will be financially secure, and also they will be morally secure, and in his absence he will make means that they do not go and do some immoral or immodest activities. Similarly, a person going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should do the same thing. And a person going out for i'tikaf, no use going for i'tikaf and you sitting and crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dead of the night. Meanwhile, your wife and your children and your daughters and your sons, they are running immorally loose out in the streets. And then you rather stay in your house and control and discipline and govern your own house before going for i'tikaf. For example, now on the 23rd night, that is the New Year's night, you do not sit for nafil i'tikaf when your house is in a state of immorality. You rather stay in your house and look after your house, and you stay in your house and control your sons, your daughters, and your wives. That will be more rewarding, beneficial for you than to sit in the masjid in the first saf and start praying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the typical scenario may be that if a son comes with his car and leaves the father with the bedding, and the father goes away into the masjid for nafil i'tikaf, meanwhile the son subsequently is gone with the car and he's playing loud music, parading the streets and engaged in immoral activities. So you rather stay at home, look after the children, look after the family, that will be earning you more reward. As far as spiritually is concerned, that you must definitely know what purpose you're going for i'tikaf. You are not going there to run away from some debt, or you're not going there to seclude yourself like a hermit or something, but you're going there to seclude yourself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing certain activities there in the masjid. And you must spiritually gear yourself, hype yourself up, so that you can benefit from i'tikaf. When you come out of there, you come out different, and you are coming out spiritually boosted and spiritually uplifted. That is why you will find, unfortunately, many people every year they sit for i'tikaf, and every year when they come out, after one day they're back to square one. A person, it is not necessary, however, to make i'tikaf every year, because it is sunnah muqaddah ala al-kifaya. Just like how Hajj and Umrah is becoming a fashion, these days, unfortunately, to sit every year for i'tikaf is also becoming a fashion. Yes, you want to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so one year you may sit for i'tikaf, one year you can go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one year you can help your local masjid to do their collection, one year you can help your local madrasa to do their collection, and one year you can help your local darulum to uplift any of their problems and alleviate any of their problems. So we as Muslims must know how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when to please Him.
We have Mr. AK back on the line. AK, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Malana, with regard to the question with regard to firearms to the mosque.
Yeah.
Am I right by saying that Allah, well, obviously, Allah Ta'ala is our ultimate protector?
Yes.
Now, especially this year that we are we have this millennium rubbish, that's what I call it, plain and simple. There's a lot of unwanted elements on the road when you go for tawajjud or for fijjar or whatever the time is, right? Now, what about self-protection with regard to your firearm? No other ulterior motive, just protect yourself. Like if you're going for tawajjud, you come from the mosque at say 4:30 in the morning, it's still dark, it's still, you know. What about that, man?
I think the question is different.
Yeah.
The lady that spoke, she was talking about the people making i'tikaf and whilst in i'tikaf having their firearms.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
You understand?
I agree totally with that.
I was commenting on that.
Yes, I agree.
And what you are saying, that is also correct. That if you, due to the circumstances now prevailing in our country, that if a person, for protection's sake, takes his firearm and he takes it to the masjid, but please, when you're taking your firearm to the masjid, do not display it. Do not display it and now show what a big firearm you got, or you boast that I'm carrying a firearm. These are dangerous weapons. So you take it, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a protector. And a person owning a firearm should make dua all the time that he does not use it. He's not given the opportunity to utilize that firearm.
So, Zakla Malana, as I said, I do agree with the lady 100%, the sister rather. My question was just the self-protection when you're walking, especially when you're walking to the masjid. Now, on the way, you get all these, let me be plain and simple, you get all these donkeys, you know, with the rough cars and all, whether it's, you know, wherever.
In the light of Sharia, it is permissible to protect yourself and also to defend yourself and to carry a firearm.
Okay, thank you for your input.
Tell me, brother, the one on the zakat. What
we will be handling zakat questions in the last part of this program.
More or less time.
I can't say at this point.
Okay,
thank you so much, brother AK. And I know if you've got any questions regarding i'tikaf, you may call us at 854-6854. And I know a sister who called in did not want to come on air. She intends to sit for the last 5 days nafil i'tikaf. What are her duties and what kind of requirements?
Because she is sitting for nafil i'tikaf, right? And she is sitting in Ramadan. So obviously she will be in the state of fasting.
One is that she must be obviously in the state of purity. When she is in the state of purity, number one, then she will be fasting, number two. Thirdly, because she is going to be making nafil i'tikaf, so she can go to the demarcated area when she wants to, and she can come out of the demarcated area whenever she wants to. Fourthly, that when she is in the demarcated area, she should behave like one who is in masnoon i'tikaf, meaning she should make zikr, read durood sharif, make tilawat of Quran, make a qaza salat. If a qaza salat is complete, then she can make a nafil salat, and she can even sleep in that area.
Is it another question was, is it permissible to talk to your children while sitting for itikaf?
Is it permissible for a person who is in masnoon itikaf, now he's in the masjid, or for example a lady, she's in a room making masnoon itikaf, is it permissible for her or him in the masjid to talk to the one's children? Yes, it is absolutely permissible. It is absolutely permissible to talk to the children, and also the lady making i'tikaf in the house, she can also direct the cooking activities from her room, and she can engage in sewing, knitting, etc. A person sitting in the masjid, he can also write and give lectures, have dini discourses, and he can definitely talk to his children. In fact, if a person is in the masjid, and let's say he falls sick, his wife can visit him in the masjid. His wife can visit him in the masjid, and he can even talk to her. And the children can come and visit him, even the doctor can come and attend to him in the masjid while he is in masnoon i'tikaf. He need not break his i'tikaf and go outside. So the children can come and talk to him, and he can talk to them. This is absolutely permissible, because the deen of Islam is complete and it is easy. The deen of Islam is complete and easy. Ulama have written that it is makruh, detested, for a person who is sitting in i'tikaf to remain silent all the time. So to remain silent all the time in i'tikaf, ulama have said that this is makruh, this is what we call disliked in the eyes of Sharia, in the light of Sharia.
Okay, everything should be balanced in life. Now, one finds, while you can speak to somebody, as technology overtakes us wherever we go, we find people sitting in itikaf and they have their cell phones with them. And what are the limits, and to what degree can they use the cell phone and conduct business? And
so there are two, three questions here. One is it permissible to use a cell phone while sitting in itikaf? That's one question. Second question is that if it is permissible, to what extent? The third question is, trade permissible whilst in i'tikaf? Now understand that whilst in i'tikaf, it is permissible to use a cell phone. Now, because the Mufti is saying permissible, does not mean now you must sit 1 hour on the cell phone. Remember, it will be permissible to the degree of necessity. To the degree of necessity means that maximum you will be speaking to the opposite party for 1-2 minutes. 1-2 minutes, and we have got reports now that the brothers who are sitting for i'tikaf, they are sitting 1-2 hours on the phone, on the cell phone. Now this is totally unbecoming. Deal, cancel that deal. Or for example, a doctor. A doctor is in i'tikaf, and a patient contacts him. Say, must I take that medicine? Yes, you can take the medicine. And he can ask 1-2 words about how the patient is feeling. And a doctor, he's got a locum, and the locum now does not know what to do. So he phones the doctor. The doctor can give him brief, precise, concise instructions. Now he mustn't go and start from the masjid running the locum's practice.
Okay, point taken. An anonymous sister phones in. Her 11-year-old son wants to sit for itikaf at Madrasa Zakaria. She wants to know, is there somebody to wake him up in the morning and other times for Salah, or take care of the son?
First of all,
and then before we go, before you answer that question, also there is a trend that in some of the madrasas, if there's a great sheikh coming, and people flock because the sheikh is there, and you'll find huge amounts of people sitting for itikaf in certain masjids only because there's a great sheikh present.
Is this in the light of Sharia, or this practice is because it's becoming a habit now? I'm going to sit for itikaf only if my sheikh comes.
There are two separate now, as usual, questions. One is, let's take the anonymous caller about the level year old child. First of all, that it is good to encourage a 11-year-old boy to sit for itikaf, provided that he is mentally mature. Now, to send a child, 11-year-old boy, to any masjid or for any given masjid, stipulated masjid for itikaf, without making prior arrangements. For example, in this case, you should contact someone who is going to be making itikaf there. And that someone must be a reliable and he must be an upright, righteous personality. This person must be the guardian of that 11-year-old boy. Otherwise, do not send the youngster. Because what is going to happen there, although in every masjid or and in Zakaria, they will have personnel getting up the those who are making itikaf, they will be getting them up from time to time for their various activities in the masjid, then the youngster will obviously get up to, but he may also sleep. So there is a possibility that he could become neglectful and there will be no attention on him. So you have to send him with someone. You will have to send him with someone who can care for him, look after him, and also that to look at his needs if he falls sick inside there, or if he is getting lonely there, or if he is feeling irritated. So say someone has to comfort him there and teach him what to do, and also to guide him there. To just send him there, that is not good. Now, what Brother Farooq has raised, that a lot of brothers go where their sheikhs are. This is permissible. That in certain masajids throughout the world and throughout the country, that brothers who are aligned and who are linked to certain personalities, and when that personality comes there, then they go. Provided, here I must say, provided that they take benefit from that personality. Yes, alhamdulillah, in Islam we have got personalities, we have got great personalities, and when these personalities come or they are making itikaf, then the mutakafin, those who are making itikaf, they must take correct benefit from the time spent with their sheikh and with their spiritual mentor, and not go there and deprive themselves or waste their time there, wane their time away there. However, that we should also have a spread, that after spending some time, one, two itikafs with your sheikh and with your spiritual mentor, then the subsequent years, you should try to create that good environment in your own masjid, in your own localities, and in your own setup, so that the teachings of the sheikh and the teachings of the spiritual mentor may be passed on.
Over to you. Jazakallah, Nazir. The telephone numbers, if you have anything to ask, is 854-6854. Please feel welcome to call. Mufti Sahib, if I want to sit for Masnoon Itikaf, when do I go into the masjid? What time does it start and when does Itikaf end?
The Itikaf, the Masnoon Itikaf, will start from the night commencing from the setting of the sun of the 21st night of Ramadan. That means the itikaf technically starts from the setting of the sun, the 21st night. In our this year's case, on the Wednesday. So Wednesday, Asr time, a person must enter the masjid, and he must enter the masjid so that when the sun sets, the sun will be setting on the 21st night. So he is inside, and he will now terminate the itikaf when the moon is sighted for Eid. So he will start the itikaf commences upon the setting of the sun and remains until the sighting of the Shawwal moon, the Eid moon.
So you're saying from Maghrib, I must be in before Maghrib?
Yes. You must be in before Maghrib, that means at Asr time, so that you, as soon as Maghrib is in, that the time it started. If you come after Maghrib, you are out. It's out. You are not in Masnoon Itikaf.
And it would end at the Maghrib or the...
No, it will not end at the Maghrib. It will end, for example, when the
moon is sighted. So by the time the moon is sighted, the shahada is taken and the message reaches your masjid. As soon as the message reaches your masjid reliably and authentically, then you are now out of i'tikaf.
Okay, jazakallah. A question which came into the phone. In a sunnat i'tikaf, can you go for a shower? And if not, why?
In a masnoon i'tikaf, and here I must also stress that one of the main reasons for making the i'tikaf is to seek out the night of Laylatul Qadr. One of the main reasons. That is why the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last year of his life, he made 20 days i'tikaf, to seek out the night of Laylatul Qadr, which can be on the 21st night, 23rd night, 25th night, 27th night, 29th night. And a person, whilst he's in i'tikaf, then he is technically not allowed to make ghusl unless it becomes compulsory upon him. However, if he goes to toilet and then near the toilet is a shower room where he's going to make wuzu, and whilst making wuzu, he makes such a very good wuzu that he pours water all over himself, like some unfortunately brothers who make wuzu in the wuzu kada, then if you're sitting near them, then you don't have to make wuzu because they splash so much water, they make your wuzu for you. So this person in i'tikaf, he can go and make such a wuzu and cool himself down.
Exactly. A sister phones in and she wants to send her son for i'tikaf. Is it preferable to send him to the local mosque or to Madrasa Zakaria?
Yeah, again I will state, depending who is going to take care of him. And one, you must realize it is not farz and wajib and sunnat for the youngster to make i'tikaf. That's one. Secondly, there, depending who you find as guardian and custodian and caretaker for that youngster during that period. If you find a custodian or a caretaker who is prepared to take him to the local masjid, then send him to the local masjid. And if you find someone who is prepared to care for him and to take him to Zakaria, then take him there.
Okay, let's take a caller. Muhammad Amin. Muhammad Amin.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Muhammad.
I'd like to ask two questions. It's not pertaining to the itikaf, it's pertaining to the Eid Salah.
Okay.
The one I'd like to ask the Mufizab, that on the virtues of Ramadan, in the section of Laylatul Qadr, Hadith number 3 is reported by Hazrat Anas Lano, wherein Jibreel Salam comes down a light of power and makes and invokes blessings for all the fine in worship. Then on the day of Eid, Allah questions the Malaika, and the Malaika wants to know what reward they get. Allah says, then they set off to the Eidgah, both the male and female. And Allah forgives all those people.
Yes.
I understand that women are not encouraged to go to the Eidgah or to the masjid. Normally in Jummah, the women perform the Salah, the Zuhr Salah at home.
Yes.
What do the females do on the day of Eid? What Salah do they perform in place of the Eid Salah?
The mere fact that they're preparing the males and sending them off to the Eidgah, inshallah they will be rewarded. Because, for example, jihad, when generally they do not take part in the physical jihad, but when they prepare a mujahid and they send the mujahid away for jihad, then their jihad is to stay at home and they are equally rewarded. Like, so they have sent off their men folk to the Eidgah, inshallah they will be rewarded. And that day, they can make some zikr and they can make some Quran tilawat, that will be sufficient for them.
Yes, second question.
Other question. Hello?
Yes, the second question, Muhammad.
The second question is that for the follow the form of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi, the Eid Salah is wajib.
Yeah.
And for the Shafi'is, it's Surat Al-Muqaddah.
Yes.
Now, if you are living in an area and if you have to go and perform the Eid Salah and join the Hanafis and you cross through the or you bypass the Shafi'is,
yeah,
is it proper or is it improper?
Especially Eidgah, and now in our areas, and especially for example in Durban areas, they have various Eidgahs going on. And you will see people traveling for 5 kilometers, leaving their own Eidgah in their own localities, but going to some other Eidgah. So all this is permissible.
permissible.
This is permissible, and you can go to the Eidgah of your choice.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Brother Yunus. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yunus.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
My name is Yunus. There's a question I would like to ask you about. Right? This is year in, year out, as long as Allah keep us alive, right?
Sure.
Our Muslim brothers opening their shop businesses on Eid day, guys going to work on Eid day. Now, just talk about it a little more in briefly. I feel it's totally wrong. I mean, the whole month we sacrifice, we roza, we have the best food on the table with our children, and on this day you go to open up your shop. Don't you think you should spend our time more with our families? It's our joyous day. And another thing, like, in the week, my daughter asked me, right? She said, where does the Christians, like, sort of, on day, Christian day, on Christmas day, what do they do? Do they go to the Zuleika as our Muslims? I said, no, my darling, one thing they should have is iman. They get together with their families, they sit at home the whole day. Unfortunately, they do the wrong thing, sort of, they, you know, drinking what, but they were their families. What do you want to say about? I think all Muslims must sacrifice this year, stay at home with their families, man.
I explained this in detail, to some detail, yesterday in the talkback show we had concerning celebrations, and I've explained that it is permissible to open the shop during Eid day. That is far as the jurisprudential law is concerned. And if there is the law of compassion, the owner can close the shop for Eid. However, we suggest that he can close, for example, partially or open partially, or he can send out his half the staff this year for this Eid, the other half the other Eid.
We said, huh? I mean, the staff is working for him. Surely they want to be with their families. Now, the poor guy doesn't go to work, then he's going to cut his wages off for one day or half a day. Come on, these guys should at least realize, man.
So
the staff works for him for the whole year.
Yes.
What is one day's sacrifice? Like, give the staff off, let them be with him. So why don't they open on Christmas Day then rather the whole day? Tell the government is not the festival, it's the Christian festival.
I explained yesterday also that Christmas and New Year's, we are forced to close. And when we are forced to close, the shop owners, they have to abide by the law. Yeah, I am not saying that a person must definitely open a shop or close it, but in the light of Sharia, he is entitled to open it. And as far as being with the family, the workers, and this concept that only on Eid day we must be with our families, my respected brother, I think that one of the problems that the youth are experiencing is because on daily basis the families don't get together. The father and the mother have to sit with their children on daily basis and create a homely environment.
That is very true. What I'm saying, I know on a daily basis, but my argument here totally is on each day. Why can't we sacrifice? And the worst part is, right, besides going to work, we Muslims, the young and the old, we celebrate our each day at the Zuleik, making tawaf there. I mean, that's I'm going to put my phone down.
I commented on that yesterday in detail. About the Zuleik, and we have definitely stated that it is totally and grossly unbecoming for a Muslim to go to places like Zuleik and perform in the manner how they are performing, displaying their fineries, and immorality because it reaches its peak there. So definitely it is not good for a Muslim to go to those places.
Okay, exactly.
Thank you for your input, Brother Yunus. An anonymous sister phones in. Her husband wants to sit for itikaf in a masjid, but they have a baligh border in the house. What is the ruling?
This is what I was explaining about. In the initial stages, when we started the program, that when a person wants to sit for i'tikaf, then he must tie the camel. To have a baligh ghair mihram border in the house, at all times it is not conducive to the spirit of Islam, because when the husband is out and the baligh border is in the house, then that is not correct. And not so that the person is going to be away for i'tikaf, definitely this man should stay at home and also look into this matter, that is it permissible or is it correct for him to have a baligh border, ghair mihram, during the entire year.
The second part of that question, if it is not permissible, can he sit for itikaf in the house and just go to the masjid for the namaz times? What intention should he make? The husband,
when he comes to the house, then he
For him to sit in the house for itikaf, that has not been proven. Yes, he can go for his salat, but the basic major fundamental problem is that he has got a baligh border. This baligh border has to be boarded, has to be taken out. And then he can now decide with his life, he can go and make it a full itikaf, etc.
Okay, can we take Anissa on a cell phone?
Anissa?
Hello, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Malana, can I please ask you?
Yes.
Eid is a very big religious day for all the Muslims, right?
Sure.
We normally on the 16th of June do not go to work because it's known as Shabbos day, right? A lot of the shopkeepers close their shops and big businesses because they're scared of what might happen to them. Why can't the Muslims use that as the same token when it comes to Eid day? Why are they so afraid of the blacks? They would rather close their business on that day, but they're not afraid of the Almighty Allah for one big khutbah like Eid day. Why is that so?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not instructed us, not in the Quran, not in the Ahadith, not in the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not commanded us to close the shop on Eid day. He has not commanded us to close our shops. So the Muslim who is opening his shop on Eid day is not contravening the Islamic Sharia law.
Okay.
So
but now,
out of respect and out of harmony and out of compassion, if he closes his shop, that is very good. Allah Ta'ala will give him more barakat.
If I can add, I think it is the level of the shopkeeper's iman that will, and amount of compassion that he has, that call is going to be made whether I close or not.
No,
and is it right upon that shopkeeper to inflect those employees to come to work on each day, or can they? Do they have to put up a battle to have a day's leave, or would that business person, you know, be fair to them to say that you're a Muslim and I will give you this day off?
If the workers approach the owner of the shop and he, inshallah, should accede to their request. But what Brother Farooq is saying, I have to comment on that quickly, that we should not say it is a level of the iman of the shop owner. No, we should not say that.
Too harsh on the
shop owner. But inshallah, what you are saying, that if a person, a worker approaches his boss, or is the owner of the firm, and asks for Eid leave, then we make a humble request that inshallah those bosses should give their owners, their workers off.
On the other end, I don't think we should also generalize. It's not all Muslims that open their shops. And then also, yesterday was Christmas, and there were a lot of Christian shopkeepers with their shops open.
Yes.
So we can't generalize and say it's only Muslims opening up.
But you know, when it comes to the non-Muslims, you can't determine who celebrates Christmas and who doesn't, okay? Because sometimes the Christians celebrate, some of the whites celebrate, so we can't actually judge because we're not in that path of religion. But when it comes to a Muslim, if you're a Muslim, you're Muslim. Your business has to be closed. You know what I'm saying? You can't be Muslim one day and not Muslim the other day, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, what you are saying, that if you are Muslim, you are Muslim and your business has to be closed. It does not have to be closed. That is what I'm trying to explain, that there is no categorical text telling us that we have to close our shops.
Okay. Just to, you know, give the other people some kind of thing to take note of, you know, if you can be so afraid of, you know, another human being, like on the 16th of June,
yes,
being Shabbos day, okay, because our Muslims are interrogated and intimidated by the blacks, so to speak, because of that they've been a big day in the black religious books, okay, why can't the Muslims take note to a big day in their own religion, which is something that they follow, they fast 30 days for the whole month of Ramadan, instead of being afraid of the blacks? Why don't you be afraid of the Almighty?
Because the Almighty does not want you to be afraid on that day for Him.
But they don't realize that.
No, hold on. Understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, has told us to perform Salah.
Yes.
And if you don't perform Salah, then the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon the person. Then you have to be afraid of not performing the Salah. Because there are clear categorical commandments, warnings and rewards stipulated concerning the performance of Salat and the discard of Salat. Now, concerning the Eid day, we do not have clear cut categorical text telling us to close the shop.
Right.
So that is why the Muslim, he is not afraid that he to open his shop.
Right.
And now when there is a leeway and when there is some flexibility, so we should leave it like that.
Okay, let's leave that point where it is, Anissa. Have you got anything else to add?
Jazakallah, nothing else.
Thank you so much for your input, Sister Anissa. Further that question, Mufti, another call came in the other line. If the shop is kept open during Jummah Salah, what is the ruling of that money earned? Then the second part, sometimes men go to masjid and a woman stand in the shop, or sometimes non-Muslims stand in the shop. What is the ruling? I think this is pertaining to Jummah Salah.
That is pertaining to Jummah Salah. And as far as a person opening a shop during Jummah Salah, then the money and all the profits earned during that period of Jummah Salah, you give it away in charity, definitely. And the ulama ikram, the fuqaha, are strongly against opening the shop during Jummah Salah. The other portion is that to leave the women folk in the shop whilst the husband is gone for Jummah Salah, in principle, that the women folk should not be in the shops working. That this is a fallacy of liberalization and freedom, that you were to free the woman and bring her and to work in the shop and slave in the shop and slog in the shop and sweat in the shop. This is not any form of Islamic concept of behavior or ideology, that to slog the woman folk in the shop. So in the first, she should not be in the shop. And if you leave non-Muslims working in your shop, that is your shop. So it is your profit, it is your goods. The same rule will apply, that you give your profits away in charity.
Okay, we'll take Farooq in Indonesia now. Assalamu alaikum. Farooq?
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum, your name?
Wa alaikum salam. Who am I speaking to now?
Mufti Riyaz.
Mufti Riyaz. In connection with this closing of Eid.
Ji.
And all our Eids and all our big days. Yesterday, it was the same topic, am I right?
Sure.
And there was a Jewish guy that came on air yesterday.
No, he just presented a Jewish argument.
Yeah. And he says that the Jewish close on their days.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, to which I replied that our Sharia is not based upon the Jewish faith.
Right, correct. Now, our Sharia is not upon that. But the thing is, don't you think it's right that we all close on Eid day, whether they Eid or Bakrid, when we do close?
I, as a Mufti, cannot tell the owners, the Muslim owners of shops, I cannot instruct them to do something which is not proven.
No, that's right. But according to the way I look at it, according to our religion, Islam,
yes,
the staffs want to be with the family, the people want to be with the families. Don't you think it's right? They should close.
I can advise them. I cannot tell them this is the fatwa. I cannot tell them this is the legal ruling. We can advise them, we can encourage them, we can coax them, we can explain to them the benefits of closing, and we can explain to them the compassionate aspect of it, but we cannot force them.
No, that you are quite right, we cannot force them.
Yes.
But they should actually close.
We can advise them.
Because, you know, the argument is, why do they close on Christmas Day and so forth?
Yeah,
okay, we know that we are living in a Christian country.
Yes.
Am I right?
Sure.
And we got to close on those days. But especially our days, which are very, very holy to us.
Sure.
Which we got to celebrate with our families.
Yes.
And we should think not to open the shop, we should close.
Inshallah, I hear what you say, but you must realize, take it from my point of view, I cannot force that.
No, you cannot force them. That's right. You can only talk to them.
Yes.
But I hope, inshallah, they get what we are, they listen to this topic, and maybe, inshallah, they close.
Inshallah.
All right.
Jazakallah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You see, as far as anything which is proven in Sharia, we can tell the people that this is the legal ruling and this is what we encourage you to do. For example, like going to Etikaf. Etikaf is proven. We can tell the person, go and make Etikaf. And we can explain to them the adab of Etikaf, the mannerism of Etikaf, and the ethics of Etikaf.
Okay. A person set for Etikaf last year. And then he had some medical condition and he was advised to break his itikaf. He wants to set for itikaf this year. What kind of intention will such a person make for itikaf? Is it wajib or nafil, or can he continue his itikaf of last year? Or
This is important, Masla. It concerns a person, male or female, who started the masnoon itikaf, and the female, for example, while she was making the masnoon itikaf, she experienced menstruation. What she must do. And the second thing is the male. For example, this person, due to some disease or ailment or illness, he had to break his etikaf, or due to negligence, his etikaf broke. Now what must he do? So understand the rule. That, for example, this person here, let us take him first, that he wants to make etikaf now. Has he made qaza of the etikaf that he has broken? If he has not made qaza, then he still can make masnoon the niyat for etikaf this year. He still can make masnoon etikaf for this year. Now that etikaf that he broke the other year, the day that he broke the etikaf, he has to make qaza of that. He has to make qaza of that etikaf only. Understand this. For example, on the fifth day, on the fifth day of etikaf, he broke his etikaf. And he terminated his etikaf. When he terminated his etikaf, then for that particular day, he must make qaza of that particular day. How does he make qaza? During any time of the year, he must make intention of fasting and also be in the masjid. So he'll go in the masjid at Asr time and stay inside there, and for the entire the night he'll stay there, and he will now proceed with fasting the next day and make his etikaf. Because he broke a masnoon etikaf, he must make a etikaf for that one day alone with fasting. Similarly, the lady, the woman, who due to menstruation, her etikaf broke because her fasting broke. Now she will also now, outside Ramzan, make another etikaf with fasting as a precondition and make qaza of that one day alone. Understand that that is the qaza of the fast.
JazakAllah. Sister Aisha, you have a question?
Sister Aisha, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I just have a question on fasting. Is it permissible for a pregnant lady to fast?
It is permissible for a woman who is expecting to fast, provided a reliable, pious, righteous doctor tells her that inshallah her fasting in that state will not harm her or the baby.
I see you stress pious, righteous doctor.
Yes, that is got to do with medical. The woman is expecting, and Islam protects the life, property, dignity, chastity of everybody. So there is a leeway. A person who is on journey, a person who is in jihad, a person who is ill, a person who is sick, a person who is expecting, they can waive the fast and make the qaza. But a person who is expecting, it is permissible for them to fast, provided the doctor, pious, righteous doctor, because he will be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making his decision.
And if I can't find such a doctor?
You'll find them now, inshallah.
Inshallah. Does it answer your question, Aisha? Aisha? Are you happy with the answer?
Yes, but what if she just like misses a few days, and just because she can't take it, and then decides to make up those days?
Yes.
Afterwards?
Yes, she can. She herself knows her health better than anybody else. And
okay.
If she decides that, listen, I cannot make the fast, then she'll make qaza after that.
Okay.
Thank you for calling
us. I want to calculate my zakat on the stocks of cloaks and materials I have on hand. How do I calculate it?
You provided the stock in trade, those cloaks, etc., paid up stock, then it is advisable for you to calculate it on market value and then regard it as your asset. That is stock in trade, and pay 2.5% of that as zakat.